Hey, we're here to praise tonight. Would you stand up? And let's lift our hearts and voices to the Lord. Put your hands together. Let's give him praise. Let everything.
Let everything.
That I spread.
That I spread.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. myself. There aren't enough colors to paint the whole picture. There aren't enough words to ever say what I found.
Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy.
Enough notes to make the harmony. It's the song of the angels,
angels.
For all of the ages,
angels.
It's all of the earth and heaven's symphony.
Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy. He is merciful and
Thank you, choir, worship ministry, and welcome to Lone Oak First Baptist Church Night of Praise. That is quite the start. That is quite the start. We want to welcome you. Yes, yeah. We want to welcome you to this night of worship and make sure that you understand that this is not simply a night for you to watch this amazing group of leaders worship, but this is a night for you to join in worship. And God is doing quite a work here at Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and he's doing a work even in our community. Friends, this morning we had two people come and make professions of faith during the morning services. Two more joined the church. I heard about someone getting saved at a funeral that we had this past week. And just as I was walking in, this man grabbed me and said, listen, I was talking to a longtime friend about the gospel, and I think in a couple of days he's going to be ready to profess Jesus Christ. Y'all, that's something to worship about. But again, we don't want you just to come and to watch this worship service, but we want you to be a part of what God is doing here this evening, but also in these days. If you're a guest, we want to connect with you, and we want to have an opportunity to plug you into what God is doing. There are a number of ways for you to connect with us. The easiest is to take your phone out and to text that number, 270-398-5005. If you would text that number, any of those keywords, we would love to connect with you and help you find your place among what the Lord is doing here at this church. Again, we're so thankful that you would be here, and we want to encourage you to worship. We want to encourage you to focus your heart. Perhaps even now, in just a moment as I pray, you could say, Lord, would you help my heart to be receptive to what you are doing? At the close of our service this evening, we're going to have a time of invitation, and there may be some of you that want to respond to what the Lord is doing in your heart by coming forward to profess Jesus as your Savior, and we'll even have times of prayer. You may be able to see here across the front, we have a number of benches that have been placed, and it might be that you simply need someone to pray for you or to pray with you about whatever situation that you're facing. Well, at the close of our service tonight, we're going to invite you to respond, and we pray that you will. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here among your people. And God, would you help us to praise you? Would you help us to lift our voices to you, to recognize that you indeed are God? And Lord, we ask that not only would you help us to praise you, but we ask that you would receive our praises as pleasing to you. Father, thank you for this night of worship, and thank you for being worthy of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Trouble knocking at my door today, I ain't gonna let it win. And worry wanna steal my joy away, but I ain't gonna let it win. On my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God.
Growing up, I learned how to church. I knew how to bow my head in prayer, how to shake the preacher's hands, how to do things for church. One thing I remember throughout part of my youth, was hearing sermons on hell. I knew that was just not a place I wanted to be. It absolutely it scared me so much. And I wanted to do whatever it took to keep from going to hell. I made a profession of faith and was baptized. That was with a little coaxing from a friend. I was very blessed to have been raised in a Christian, strong Christian family. My mom and dad took me to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And anything that would interfere with that was considered an idol. My life initially after baptism was one of someone who was trying to work herself out of hell. And now my life is that of having received a gift of salvation from God and a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's about spending eternity with Jesus Christ now. With baptism, it's that outward expression of saying, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ. It's that declaration of proclaiming that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And it represents that death, burial, and resurrection with Him into life with Jesus Christ. It's about this gift of salvation.
I never considered getting rebaptized after I came back to Christ. I was on the phone with Jamie Coomer one day, completely unrelated topic, but he just out of the blue asked me, when were you baptized? It took me back. I couldn't remember at the time. It turns out it was 1999. When I was baptized, I was 5 and a half years old, and to tell you the truth, I couldn't tell you why I did it. I don't think I did it for the right reasons. I did it for pleasing my parents, pleasing my church family that told me it was time to be baptized. One Sunday morning, Brother Scott, after his sermon, mentioned baptism as an option for someone to get baptized after their salvation, on the right side of their salvation. When I signed up that day, it was like that was when the trouble really started. The enemy knows that my biggest weakness is depression. It's anxiety and it's overthinking things. That week that I had to wait for baptism, I was absolutely 100% under spiritual warfare. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but I felt like I just needed to wait it out and suffer through it. So I showed a couple of my friends some of the stuff that was going on, told them that I was kind of going to be unavailable that week, just needed to get myself mentally back on track. And my friend Brian Arnett, he hosted a fish fry on that Saturday night before my baptism. He had 9 of our closest friends from this church show up to that fish fry. And I didn't know they were all there for me. And they might have not known they were all there for me, but they were all there for me. After the fish fry was over, we were sitting talking, and the baptism the next day was brought up. But only a few of them had known about the depression that I was battling. I don't remember who it was that got the idea, but all of those guys gathered around me, and they prayed for me. And I left that night energized and ready to be baptized the next morning. I spent a lot of time, especially in my 20s, trying to cover my sins with my own remedy. Alcohol, some drugs, a lot of parties, a lot of wasted time. The only thing that can truly cover your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Baptism, there's nothing special about the water. It is a way of showing that I am a new creature in life. I am a new creature through Christ's blood. When you are forgiven, your sins are thrown as far from God's memory as the east is from the west. He doesn't remember. That's truly, truly clean. To anyone that's battling depression, there is hope. There is change, there is freedom, and they all come from the same place, and that name is Jesus. I know that no matter what I face today, God is stronger.
my story.
This is my story.
My cry. Now I am his. This is my
God is good. You may be seated.
I suppose my life has always been associated with music and with singing. In every season of my life, God has provided a song. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, to parents who developed a love for alcohol and made the decision to give up custody of my sister and me. I was 2 years old and left behind my 9-year-old sister and climbed on the City of New Orleans train and traveled to South Mississippi to begin my new life with an aunt and an uncle, their 3 children. Another aunt and uncle raised my sister in Memphis. My dad died when I was 4, and my mother spent the rest of her life in a mental hospital and nursing home. Sad story? Yes. But it wasn't the end, it was only the beginning. I had an amazing upbringing. As a small boy growing up on a large farm in South Mississippi, I first learned to sing in church, but the real lessons came from a black man named Odell Lee. Odell lived on the same gravel road that I lived on and taught me how to drive a tractor, ride a horse, work cows, and 100 other things, including how to sing from the soul. You see, Odell had a gospel group called the True Travelers, and they practiced in Odell's house each week. I would sneak up to his house to listen to them sing. I was just so mesmerized by their singing. God was starting to compose my song. In high school, I started a rock and roll band, sang with 2 other guys through college, graduated from New Orleans Seminary, and served as minister of music and youth in churches in Mississippi, in Louisiana, and in Alabama. I soon discovered a simple truth. The plans of God are far better than my plans. They are called kids. And I was convinced from watching my cousins raise kids that I wanted no part of that chaos. But that was not the song God was composing for me. 3 kids later, I was a smitten dad, but another verse was being written to my song. Suddenly, I was a single parent with an 8-year-old, a 5, and a 1-year-old. Was I prepared for this task? Absolutely not. But I was determined not to fail. I learned to cook, do laundry, put bows in hair, iron clothes, and clean house. My children will tell you that I am still somewhat of a fanatic about a few of those tasks. How did I raise 3 kids alone? As it turned out, I discovered that God had added an orchestra of angels to my song of life. Angels in the form of family, friends, Sunday school teachers, church members, kindergarten, elementary, and middle school teachers. They braided hair, fixed crooked pigtails, took my kids shopping and to parties, and sat with me during some of their surgeries. Some of these amazing angels are in this service tonight. Was I any good at being a father? I can't answer that. I thought I was terrible at it, but God assured me that we were writing this song together. I feel blessed beyond measure at what amazing adults my children have become. The Bible says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know in testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Through all the trials and tragedies my family and I have faced in the last 2.5 years, my God has blessed us with His mercy. Though I would love to question God, I choose not to. I have no doubt that my life is a living testimony of what the mercy of God can do. You can run and wear out a million pair of tennis shoes, but He's always coming after you, and that He's always there. And because He did it for me, I'm a prime example. A dear friend told me one time in one of the lowest moments of my life, "How many pairs of tennis shoes are you going to wear out before you turn around?" And, you know, there is hope without question with Him, and there is hopeless without Him.
leave me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but the goodness and mercy and the power of the blood.
What can wash away?
I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but the goodness and mercy and the power of the
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. give praise. He is worthy forever and ever.
We worship you. Amen. You may be seated.
I want to share my testimony and how God has just been good in my life. A lot of that in my life looks like healing. And He's done that physically, and He's done that mentally. In my life, some struggles that I've faced are the death of a family member from suicide, illness that took a long time to diagnose and took surgery and a lot of pain to overcome, feeling isolated, having postpartum depression, but God is the one that healed me of all of that. He helped me overcome through doctors, medication, therapy, but also something that could only be explained as supernatural healing that came from Him. When I was depressed, I felt like my family was better off without me. I felt like my son would have been better off with other parents. Or when I was depressed, I had pain that was so harsh, I wanted to die. When I was sick, it took a long time to understand what my body was going through and for healing. In those moments, the pain was not good, and the pain made me feel like I wish I had never been born. When God healed me of that depression, He made me realize that that story was not to make me feel like I shouldn't have been born, but to make me feel that my story could be used for His glory, that my healing was a testament to His power and Him overcoming through my story. There's hope. There's hope in tomorrow. No fear in life, no guilt in death, because Jesus accepted all of the sins and all of the weight of sin and darkness in this world, and we don't have to carry that burden because He's already carried that. He died on the cross for our sins, and He rose again 3 days later, so that all we have to do is accept Him and put our faith and trust and hope in Him and know that after this life, there's something way better coming. God works actual miracles today, and I am a living proof and testimony of that.
the sun to the setting of the same. We praise your name, God.
My name's Larry Hausman, and my story kind of starts from the day I was born. I was born on Easter Sunday, and I'm told that they announced from the pulpit the day that I was born. You know, so I was always raised in church. I remember Sunday school at a very young age, and from time to time I would hear talk about hell, and I was concerned. I was concerned about going to hell, and it sounded like a dreadful place to be and certainly didn't want to be there. I believe if they would have said, Larry, if you'll eat a grape popsicle, you won't go to hell. I would eat a grape popsicle. At that time, at 7 years old, it was not, nothing wrong with being 7 years old and an early salvation, but in my case, it was not about God's grace and about my salvation. It was more about not wanting to go somewhere. And in this case, it was not wanting to go to hell. As one guy told me, he said, Larry, you were looking for fire insurance. You were not looking for a savior. And I think that's exactly, no one probably could put it better than that. So if you would have ever asked me during my life, Larry, you saved? I would have actually quoted you a day. I would have said November 18th, 1972, I was baptized and saved. But there was always an unsettledness as I got older, as I understood what salvation was, what Christ did on the cross for me. There was always an unsettledness there. And so it was not until I was at a men's conference that I was helping with here in Paducah, and it was an outdoor event. Phil Robertson, we'd chosen Phil Robertson to preach that day, and it was that day that I was saved. It was that day that I begged the Lord to save me, and that's really where my conversion comes from. Was the day I was saved. And so someone might say, well, why did it take you so long between then and 25, 30 years later to be baptized? And it was not until a realization that I was not saved at 7 that my conversion really came. I was saved when I was in my early 30s at that point. And it was only a realization at that point that I realized that my baptism when I was 7 was on the wrong side of my salvation. And so at that point, and that morning was a morning that that I went forward and talked to Brother Scott and set up a date for my baptism. Through my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and forgiving me of my sins, that they're always forgotten, that they're always as far from the east as to the west. My sins being forgiven by Christ. My baptism was just a public profession of something that had, a conversion that had gone on in my heart between me and the Lord. You know, to a brother or sister, maybe you have had an experience where that you were saved later in life and you've not been baptized. I will say this, that I was always unsettled. I never remember a baptism that I would watch, and that I would... There were times when someone would be baptized and I would find myself holding my breath as if I was the one being baptized. Didn't realize it at the time, but it was absolutely, I feel like the Lord working in my life and allowing me to be unsettled, knowing that there was unfinished business in my life to do. If you've not had that experience, or that you've had prayer with your Lord and Savior on a one-on-one basis and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior and forgive you your sins, I encourage you to go down front, call one of the ministers, but take that step and ask Him to be your Savior. And then follow up in believer's baptism as your public profession. If you're intimidated by taking that first step, just remember, the Lord's taking it with you. Just step out in the aisle, walk down front. The day that I stepped out to share with Scott I wanted to be baptized, I was on the second row. If I had it all to do over again, I would sit in the last row. I would sit in the back row of the church and get to enjoy. And I would get to enjoy the walk with Christ all the way down the front.
Along with the incredible time of worship and praise that we've had tonight, we've also had the opportunity to hear stories and testimonies of people whose lives were changed by the Lord after moments of surrender. And that's what we've heard. We've heard about people who have come to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to trust what only He can do. We've heard testimonies of people who face depression and personal trials, and they've seen the Lord bring them to a place of rest and peace as they surrendered. A couple of the testimonies tonight had the idea of getting their baptism on the right side of their salvation. People being unsettled because they know that they've trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they've never gone public to profess Jesus Christ. And baptism is the way that we show the world what the Lord has done in our heart. We could say it this way: it is an outward expression of an inward decision. It is where we publicly express to the world and proclaim that I am being buried with Christ and I've been raised to walk in the newness of life, and I'm going to show that the Lord has saved me and I'm not going to try to save myself anymore. Friends, you know what I believe? I believe that right here in this room tonight, some of you came to worship, but the Lord has been tugging on your heart all evening long. You lack rest and you lack peace in your soul. You're facing ongoing turmoil and tension because you know the Lord is calling you to Himself, and for whatever reason, you've been holding out. One of our testimonies tonight said, "How many pairs of shoes are you going to wear out before you stop running from the Lord?" And I'm wondering if you tonight are tired of running, and you're ready to find peace. I wonder if you are tired of being tired, and you're prepared to find rest. You know, the Lord is calling you to Himself. The sense of drawing that you feel in your heart is the Spirit of God drawing you to Himself. And I want to know tonight, would you like to receive the rest, the peace that comes only by placing your faith in Jesus Christ? In a couple of moments, we're going to have an invitation. And I'm going to invite you, just as Larry did in the final invitation, I'm going to invite you to step out of your pew and to take the bold steps forward. Take me or one of our ministers by the hand and say, "I am tired of running from the Lord. I'm ready to be saved." Take us by the hand and let us share with you what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I'll tell you what, maybe it is that you've already trusted Jesus as your Savior, but you're going through a hard season. Some of our friends in their testimonies talked about depression and personal trials. And perhaps it is that you're facing a particular season of pain. We're going to have multiple individuals up front that want to pray with you. And maybe you want to pray with someone. They'll be here to pray with you. Or maybe you just want to come to one of these benches and bow a knee or take a seat. And in a significant, special way, just pray to the Lord that He would, as mightily as He's moved in this evening of worship, that He would move mightily in your life, in your situation. Friend, God is on the move. He's doing something powerful. He's doing something unusual. And I'm wondering if you want to be a part of it. Now's the opportunity. Now's the moment the Lord is calling you to respond. Will you? Would you stand where you are? I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. At the close of that prayer, we're going to have a time of invitation. When I say amen, those that are going to help us with our time of invitation and prayer, you can make your way forward. And if you want to come forward to pray at this altar, if you want to come forward to talk to a minister about a decision, hey, step out. If you're in the front, in the back, or in the balcony, we want you to respond. Stop running from the Lord, and will you turn to Him? Father, we thank You for the evening. Oh God, would You draw us to You? No doubt, without question, God, You are moving among Your people in the sanctuary, and You're drawing us, God, through the testimonies of those that have surrendered to Your salvation. You're drawing us to stop running and to turn our lives over to You entirely, Father. And so we pray for Your help, and I pray, God, for Your help to be with those men and those women for the teenager or even the child that feels you drawing them to yourself. Lord, would you lead them to step out boldly? Would you lead them to step forward in faith? And God, would you help them every step of the way as they respond in obedience? Lord, this is our prayer, and we ask you to move among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Where are you? Who needs to respond? Who needs prayer? The invitation is open.
Hallelujah, and I know it's
You may be seated. Do we have any decisions to present? You know me, I always cry, but boy, you have just made me a wreck tonight. The way you've responded in worship is beautiful. And we have one more 4-minute song, but you're going to be glad that you stayed for it. And it's just a song of rejoicing. You know, this week we've had 3 funerals of church members, 2 here at the church, a senior saint who made a huge impact, especially when she found out she was dying her last weeks of her life, just made such an impact. And then a special needs teenager who also had a huge impact. But what that reminded me of this week as we prepared for this night of worship, that this world is still fallen and full of sickness and death and sin and cancer. We've got 8 of these choir members who are battling cancer. Somebody's having chemo tomorrow. So just the worship is marvelous and glorious, but it doesn't mean we don't have any problems. But one day, there will be no more cancer and no more sickness and no more death, no more sin, no more sorrow. Amen. And that's because for those of us in Christ, we're going to heaven, and it's called a city of joy where Jesus will rule and reign. He'll be the light. There'll be no more night. And we're going to sing and worship him forever and ever and be in his presence. So I want to celebrate that. And you know, in Kentucky, a good way to celebrate that is with the banjo. So let's celebrate the end of tonight with the City of Joy.
Not made by any man. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, where the rescued love to dance. And I've heard about the angels singing
about a place where there's no more night. And the lion and the lamb are sleeping side by side. Well, I've heard that there are colors that no one can describe. Trumpet sounds, the sky will crack wide open and our feet come off the ground. And I heard that they will see it as all the saints bow down. We are bound for, we are bound for the city of joy. City of joy tonight. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory.
God bless you, and we will see you next Sunday. Thank you for coming.